As we go back to our text, none of us lives to ourselves. None of us dies to ourselves. All of us influence people, either for good or bad. We influence them towards Christ or away from Christ by our testimony, by our example. But you're a leader. I'm a leader. I'm talking about men that are here tonight. I'm talking about women that are here tonight. You are leaders. You are shepherding somebody in your life. We often think of this text for pastors. I heard it preached recently to a group of pastors. That's great. It's a great text for pastors to study. But I want to encourage you moms who have one child or two children or four or five or eight or whatever God has given you to consider yourself the pastor of your children. I'm talking about women. As so often the man is out working in the field in many biblical homes, and I know sometimes there's single mothers and there's different stories. I understand that. But so often the woman is left back to guide the house, according to the book of Timothy, or Titus. She's the guide of the house. That word guide means the overseer. It's the same word we often use to describe a pastor. And she ought to have a pastor's heart. A man ought to have a pastor's heart for his wife. According to Ephesians chapter number 5, if you've married a wife, the main reason you've married her is to help her become more spiritual for the day when she herself will stand before the Lord. You read that text in Ephesians 5, we often use that to refer to marriage, and when it talks about the husband loving his wife, but it says the reason is that he might sanctify her, that he might purify her, that he might present her to the Lord. Your wife should be pastored by her husband. She should become more spiritual because she married you. Your children should become more spiritual because you have been chosen by God to be their father and their mother. You teenagers have other teens that you cross paths with in church. You older teenagers, believe me, the younger teenagers in this church are looking up to you as examples. You need to be their shepherds. You that are in your 20s, the older teenagers are looking up to you as their examples. You need to be their shepherd. There's a lot more leadership in God's work than what we think of often. We often think, well, the pastor's the leader. The pastor's the overseer. Yeah, he is. He is a under-shepherd under Christ. But you are also given by God influence. Every one of you, little boys, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Little boys and little girls are having a lot of influence on each other. You probably notice how they all start acting the same. They all wear silly bands. Why? They're affecting each other. There's nothing wrong with silly bands that I know of. Some preacher somewhere probably preaching against them, but I don't know what anything wrong with them. But it's just an example where they are following each other. They're following each other. And you little boys and girls need to be shepherds. And you need to be leaders. And we need to embrace our position as role models, as testimonies, as those that we're leading. Those of you that are singles are leading other single people. And you're showing them that a single person can be spiritual, can be separated, can serve the Lord without distraction. Everybody's leading somebody. No man liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. There's no such thing as a person who doesn't influence somebody else in their life. Romans 14, verse number 7. So with that in mind, let's look at the Great Shepherd chapter here. Just want to bring out about six things about a shepherd. And I don't want you to apply them to the pastor, although it's important to the pastor. I want you to apply them to yourself, no matter what your age, and to those that are following you. And I want you to notice some things. Of course, this is Jesus speaking. He is the great shepherd. The Bible calls him the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and the chief shepherd. You and I are just under shepherds. We have a few people following us. To some of you, God is going to give great influence. I believe that. The Wells are going to go over into Papua New Guinea, these missionaries with us tonight. They're going to have great influence. They're going to have great influence over there. And maybe more than most of us. And they're going to affect many souls, dozens, maybe hundreds of souls, and their influence will continue on after they go to be with the Lord. Some of you are going to have tremendous influence. Jesus said, some bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. There's no such thing as a true believer in the Lord who doesn't bear some fruit. We're supposed to bear some fruit for the Lord. And so, He has given us this portion of Scripture right here in John chapter number 10 for us to study about what it means to be a good shepherd. And I'm going to get right into it. I'm going to skip some of this for time. But Jesus says in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I want you to notice that statement there about the shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Because of a person's relationship to the shepherd, in verse number 9, that sheep will find pasture. And so write these things down for your sphere of influence, and consider yourself a leader tonight. And that is, number one, the shepherd must feed the sheep. The shepherd must feed the sheep. The shepherd must help bring sheep to the pasture. To the pasture. You don't go out to pasture. You go out there because that's where the sheep are fed. That's what they eat. We need to take them in and we need to take them out. They need to be led to food. You as a shepherd, you as an influence, you as a leader need to feed your sheep well. Feed your sheep well. Work at it. I don't care if you're a mom today and you got two children, those children ought to be fed well. And we're not talking about food and drink. We're talking about spiritual influence. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about you looking at those two little children, or four or six or eight or whatever God's given you, as your little congregation that God has you personally responsible for. You may have to shut off the television. You may, Mom, have to get into the Word of God. You may have to come up with some interesting devotions in the absence of your husband. He may work. He may travel. Some of our men go on week-long trips before they get home, And you have got to bring forth the Word of God. You got to know what the Bible says. You got to know how to apply it to their age. You got to know how to use it to prepare them for what's coming 5 years from now. And you need to feed your sheep well. Dad, you need to feed your sheep well. Know the Bible. Think of interesting ways to have devotions at home. If you're a Sunday school teacher, a junior church worker, a bus worker, you need to feed those well that have come to your class that week. They need to be fed from the Word of God. When their parents ask them, what did you learn today in junior church, in Sunday school, on the bus, in Patch the Pirate Club? What did you learn today? Those children should be able to bring forth the Word of God and some truth that they learned that day from you, because you were well prepared and you were prayed up, and the Holy Spirit of God used you. In Acts 20, verse 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now, again, put the thought of pastor out of your mind now while I read this. Put you in here as a shepherd, a leader, a boy or a girl with some influence on somebody. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Notice, to feed, to feed the church of God. You need to feed that flock that God has given you. Do not let them starve. I'm convinced that that's why so many get saved, but wither away, they just starve. They starve. Nobody feeds them any good food. We wouldn't think of doing that with a baby. We've got to feed them. Have you led souls to Christ? Have you ever gone back and tried to feed them? That is the business of an overseer. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." We need to feed people with knowledge. That's facts. And understanding, that's how to use the facts. We've got to feed them the Word of God and show them this is what the Bible says and this is how you can use it personally. Look, people that get saved don't presume they know how to pray. They don't even know how to pray. They need to be taught. They need to be fed. They don't know how to study the Bible. They don't know where to start. They don't know how to live by faith. They don't know how to win another soul to Christ. They need to be fed these things. And you need to be a good steward and a good shepherd of the flock. The shepherd feeds the flock. We can't imagine a shepherd allowing his flock to starve to death. Can you imagine that? And yet, sometimes we have spiritually emaciated children, spiritually emaciated Sunday school kids, junior church kids, church members, because they haven't been fed well. They haven't been taught how to feed themselves well. And man, you put an emaciated person out on the battlefield and they're not going to last long. They're going to be whipped soon. 1 Peter 5:2 says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." Feed, feed, feed. Give them the word of the Lord. We as leaders need to feed. There ought to be somebody in your life, I'm sure. If you'll allow God to work, I'm sure He'll bring somebody that you can cross paths with you. I don't care if you're a boy or a girl or an adult, somebody you can be feeding. Somebody you can be feeding the Word of God. Number two, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We see this often in this chapter. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." I lay down my life. There's the third time. Verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." You know, we do too. You can lay down your life or you can take it back and just say, "No, it's my life. I'm not going to live for others." But you know, we ought to lay down our lives for other people. Curtis Hudson one time said this, "You don't build a great work in a short time. You build a great work in a lifetime." You do not build a great work in a short time. You build a great work in a lifetime. And we need to surrender to stay. I mean, you got to find the right place, as the missionary brought up. But you need to surrender to stay. And you need to show by your life, there is power, brethren, there is power and influence in a life that is dedicated to the Lord, and that dedication of giving their life to the Lord and giving their life for others, the more and more the years go on, the more and more power and influence that life has because of staying power. I want to encourage you to get in and get in all the way and stay. And give your life. Lay down your life for the sheep. Forget about your life. Forget about your life and what you want to do. Give your life for others. Give your life for others. No one will ever regret giving your life for others. Again, it might just be the staying power of a Sunday school teacher who has 2, 3, 4 kids every week, but she does that or he does that for 20 or 30 or 40 years. Man, you would not believe how many people you can affect by that. Lay down your life for the sheep. And then number 3, I want you to notice he protects the sheep. In verse 12, it says this, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. We are not hirelings. We don't do this for the money. And if you should ever become a pastor, you shouldn't do it for the money. Or an assistant pastor, or a missionary, or an evangelist, or whatever it is that you may do in what we call the full-time ministry. We shouldn't do it. We are not hirelings. The hireling fleeth, it says, because he is a hireling, verse 13, and careth not for the sheep. We're not hirelings. You do not do this for money. We don't need men getting into the ministry, for instance, who their first thought is, well, what's my salary going to be? What are my benefits going to be? And what kind of transportation am I going to have? What kind of housing am I going to have? What kind of housing? We don't need any of them signing up. We just need people who are going to live by faith and go forward by faith. And they know that that is what God wants them to do. And they're not hirelings. And because they're not hirelings, but they're shepherds, they protect the sheep. They protect the sheep. They protect the sheep, as I said this morning, from trends. You got to protect the sheep from trends. I don't care if you're a mother. You're going to have to battle trends as long as those kids live in your house. But everybody's doing it. Well, we're not everybody. You're going to have to battle trends. I'll guarantee you the trends will change. The famous music groups will change. You know, for me it was the Beatles. You don't even know who the Beatles are, most of you today. Nowadays it's whatever, the Jonas Brothers. Then they're going to peter off the scene. Somebody else is going to. There's always going to be trends. Always going to be trends. You got to protect the sheep from the trends. You got to protect them from the wolves, as it says right here. There are wolves, the Bible says, in sheep's clothing, feigning themselves to be Christians, feigning themselves to be God's people, but devouring the flock. There's false prophets out there. There's false teachers out there. Somebody who was privy to some information recently was telling me about a certain man that was on the television preaching and doing miracles and healings, and how he had all these ropes and pulleys and all kinds of things set up behind the stage and so on and so forth to make it look like miracles were happening and so on. My stars. And people fall for that. People fall for stuff on the radio. People fall for stuff on the television. And we need to protect the sheep. In Psalm 23, the Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The sheep was talking here about the shepherd and saying, even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I know the shepherd's near. I know that his rod and his staff, they comfort me. And those rod and staff was to keep sheep in line. It had a hook on it to take them by the neck and get them back in line. It had a goad on it to get them going when they're supposed to be going. And also they could take that staff and go after lions, go after wolves, go after anything that was trying to get at the sheep. And we as shepherds, man, you mothers need to drive some things off. You fathers need to drive some things out of the house. Say, no, we're not watching that. We're not listening to that. We wouldn't allow those kind of people in our house. We're not going to let them across the television screen either. Thy rod and thy staff, there needs to be some separation. We're not going to read those kind of books. We're not going to watch those kind of movies. The shepherd, the leader, protects the sheep. Are you protecting people? One man came in here one time to our church with a book by Herbert Armstrong. said, man, I'm really enjoying this book by Herbert Armstrong. I said, I'll take that book. I took it from him and threw it in the garbage. Man's a cultist. That's what he is. I don't think he's alive anymore. The Worldwide Church of God. And we got to know some things. We got to protect them. Some people come in with strange Bibles. And you might not want to just take them away and throw them in the garbage because they're really personal to the people at first. But we got to teach them about the true Word of God, the King James Bible for us English-speaking people. And we have got to protect them. We got to protect them from trends. We got to protect them from all this newfangled music and all this newfangled so-called praise and worship that's confusing people and just getting people to have an emotional fix that lasts for a few days until they get their next emotional fix. And they confuse the emotional for the spiritual. And much of that stuff is just one step away from walking in the flesh. And it's worldly, and so many people in it look worldly and act worldly and behave worldly. I think I was saying this morning that I was following the Kingdom Bound Festival over here about an hour, and I don't know, 50,000 people went to that thing. It lasted 4 days, and so on, and just to see how much the Buffalo News embraced that festival every single day. There's got to be something wrong with it if the Buffalo News embraces it every single day. There has got to be something wrong with that. And there is. And they kept interviewing some of these speakers and singers and so on and so forth and how they were just bridging the gap to the world and building bridges to the world and building bridges to the other religions and so on. My stars. No wonder the Bible says in the last days there'll be a great falling away. You want to see apostasy, hang out with that crowd. It's a great falling away. Whatever happened to separation? Whatever happened to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and faithful, perfect will of God for your life? Whatever happened to Romans 16:17, which says that if anybody says anything contrary to the doctrine that you have received, avoid them. Avoid them. Doctrine is important. The days will come, the Bible warns, when they will not endure sound doctrine. It's one of the goals of our church, to endure sound doctrine. And brother, it has to be endured because it's constantly attacked. It's constantly scorned. It's constantly watered down. It's constantly laughed at. We have got to endure sound doctrine right up until Jesus comes. The shepherd protects the sheep. And then he cares for the sheep. We saw this in verse 13. Number four, he cares for the sheep in verse 13. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. We need to care for the sheep. Those of you little boys and girls, there's other little boys and girls you go to school with or whatever, need to care for them. And those of you that are in the church, you got some of these boys and girls that come into the church sometimes on the bus. They need some care. I know some situations in our church and in our chapel where children are coming. Their parents are in the midst of a divorce right now, and it is ripping the children apart. We need to know that somebody cares. And I don't think it's going to contaminate you for the rest of your life if you have one of those little boys or girls over for a couple of hours on a Sunday afternoon. They don't have leprosy, you know. Maybe you could show them a little bit of love. Take them out to a restaurant or something. Get their parents' permission first, of course. You don't want to be bailing you out. But get some permission. Maybe invest in a couple of your friends. Have them over. Maybe get them some clothes. Be a shepherd of them. Care for them. Lester Roloff one time said this. He said, you'll get more by showing 10 minutes of interest in a person than talking to them for 10 years about yourself. There's some people that just all they do is talk about themselves. And And, you know, when we do that, I want you to understand, when all you do is talk about yourself, you turn people off. Because there's not a lot of people interested in you. You do. You've seen people like that. I'm sure you've met people. They're all over the world. They're everywhere. Hey, Pastor Cole, how you doing? Good, good. How you doing? Boy, just, it's the end of the conversation. They just talk about themselves like they're the most important person in the world. We're not. We're to esteem others better than ourselves. We're to minister to people. And I like what Lester Olof said. You get more by showing 10 minutes of interest in a person than talking to them for 10 years about yourself. I want to encourage you to care for the sheep. I mean, if all you have right now, your husband, all God's given you is one good little wife there, care for her. Be a good shepherd. Be a good shepherd. God's given you a husband, care for him. Given you a couple kids, care for them. Given you a couple neighbors, care for them. Given you a widow or two in your life, care for them. Fatherless kid or two in your life somewhere, care for them. Care for somebody. Take care of somebody. Then number five, the shepherd knows the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He knows the sheep. I want to encourage you to learn names. There's no sound more precious to a human being's heart than to hear their own name. Than to hear their own name. Some little boy, some little girl comes in on the bus or something and you call them by their first name. Man, how you doing, so-and-so? Good to see you today. Man, that's going to affect them. The Bible says the shepherd knoweth his sheep. Work on knowing names. And then continue to learn more about them, what their likes are, what their dislikes. Ask them questions. What do you do for a living? Where do you live? Where do you work? Are you not on any organizations? Do you play sports? You play an instrument? What do you do? Just take an interest in. Next time you see him, ask him about that. Ask them about that. He calls them by name. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Don't use the excuse, I'm not good at names. I'm not either. I have to work at it. I have to work at it. Some guy like Jerry Simmons, I'll just start praying for him. You say, who's he? He came the last two Sundays. I'll start praying for him. And I know his name already. I know some things about him. I know where he's from. I know what he's done. Where he lived and grew up and so on and so forth. He's about my age. He was in the Army, same time I was in. Served in Germany, same time I was over there. And just sat down and talked with him. Got to know him. We got to know people by name. It's not God's will that you just be isolated out there by yourself. He called us to separation, but not isolation. He said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We need to be ministering to people. People is what it's about. And Jesus was around sinners and harlots and publicans, and he was also around a lot of good people. He learned their names, and he cared about them. And he showed them what they lacked, and he showed them what they needed. And he talked to them on their level, whether it was a Nicodemus or some poor lady caught in adultery. He got down. He wasn't condemning. He ministered to them. And it says he knows his name. I'll guarantee you Jesus knows your name tonight. You know, we need to learn names. We need to learn names of church members. We need to learn names of children. What's your name? What's your first name? Just ask them. Try to remember that. I struggle sometimes. I got the Williams kind of new family over here. I'm still trying to get the kids' names down. But I'm trying. I'm going to be able to call those kids by their first names. It makes it personal to them. The Bible says the shepherd knows each one of his sheep by name. And you know what Jesus said about sheep? He said, we're worth a whole lot more than a sheep. Over in Matthew 12, read that. We're worth a whole lot more than a sheep. We've got to know people's names. And finally, the shepherd knows the Father. This is probably the key right here, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Notice verse 30. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Wouldn't it be nice if we could make that statement? Now, we know this is referring to deity primarily. We understand that. The doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. But wouldn't it be nice if you and I, as we saw in verse 15, like Jesus, my Father knows me, I know the Father. And we could also say, I and my Father are one. Wouldn't it be nice if we learned so much about the Father? We got into the Bible so much. And by the way, pederology is a doctrine that is almost exclusive to the New Testament. So you study the New Testament and you'll learn about the Father. You'll learn about the Father. And as you get to know the Father, wouldn't it be nice if we could say, I and my Father are one? Wouldn't it be nice if a mother said, me and God, we're one. We're thinking the same way. We're going the same direction. And every father could say, I and the Father are one. I've learned about the God of the Bible, and we're one. We're working together here. We are laborers together with God. And wouldn't it be nice if a teenager could say, I and the Father are one? And some teen girl could say, I and the Father are one. And we're going in the same direction, and we're helping others come along with us. Do you know the Father tonight? Have you gotten just beyond salvation and grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord? I and my Father are one. The shepherd knows the Father. If you're going to be a good leader, if you're going to be a good leader of those that you're influencing, you're going to have to know the Father. You're going to have to know the Father. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Number one, the shepherd must feed the sheep. Do you know the word? All of us have influence. No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. No boy, no girl lives to himself or dies to himself. Do you know the Bible? Can you feed somebody else? Maybe you need to come to this altar tonight and pray about your relationship with the Bible. Because maybe you haven't been really into it studying. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Have you said, Lord, my life needs to be about others, not myself anymore? Number three, the shepherd protects the sheep. Who are you protecting right now? Man, the evil one is after so many people. Who are you protecting? Who are you protecting? Number four, we care for the sheep. We care for them. We spend time listening to them, knowing them. Number five, the shepherd knows the sheep. Who do you really know? Who do you really know? Are humans just a mystery to you? They ought not to. They ought to be a treasure to you. Boy, Brother Wells was talking about some of these people up here and on his presentation tonight, naming their names, and the boy got saved, led 17 others to Christ. He knows people. Are you getting to know people? The shepherd knows the Father. Do you know the Father, or is he still a mystery, some strange, dark person that you're saved, but you don't know the Father? As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the pianos begin to play softly. We want to encourage you just in the quietness of this moment. I know it's been a long day, but still, if you want to just stand to your feet and come to this altar tonight and say, God, you've given me a sphere of influence. It may be very small right now. Help me to be the best influence that I can be. Maybe it's just one or two people. Maybe you kids, just one or two kids in town you play with. That's your sphere of influence. You need to be faithful in that sphere of influence. Some of you haven't come to the altar in a long, long time. My, oh my, if your heart's hard, if your head's hard, Why don't you come? Why don't you say, Lord, help me revive? Why don't you pray God gives you a vision for others? See how many people you can influence as a shepherd for the rest of your life. Some are coming. How about you? Stand to your feet. Step out the aisle. Come down here, kneel and pray. Have you given your lives to others? It's the only way to live.